Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, well, we're live here with the one and only Phil, Spencer Phil. Welcome back. We had you in 2014.
Wow.
Also for our 1,000th episode 5 years ago, and now our 20th anniversary episode here.
20 years. Congrats, man. Like, you were there. When did Paris start? So 20 years. How many years after did you come in?
I didn't officially become a part of Gamertag Radio until 2013.
Got it.
But we were friends and would collaborate together as early as like 2006.
So good. Congrats, guys. Just really. No, I mean, what you've meant to the community, people look to you in many different ways, as you know. But really, I just think balanced voices in an industry and a community we all love. So thank you. Thank you for all that you've done.
Yeah, no, thank you. This year is also the Xbox 360 20th anniversary. And that's, I know when we launched the show, the original Xbox was still around, you know, and I was very excited to play the Xbox 360. I mean, actually, couple of days ago, I uploaded content because I've been doing retro episodes.
I uploaded
stuff that I recorded a long time ago. And I just uploaded the launch of the 360 and
Zero Peter.
With Peter Moore and J.I.
Yeah.
Paris has the hoodie of the Zero Hour.
I have that same one. I have that. Same.
Were you there?
At Zero Hour?
Zero Hour?
Yeah.
You were. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because I went with my buddy. This was obviously before podcasting or anything. I was just excited. I won the contest to go. So, you know, so we drove down, you know, to Palmdale and man, exactly. Like 24 hours just playing all those games. Yeah. It's just a moment in time I'll never forget.
Yeah. I love. Yeah. So it's such fantastic moments. Like it's just really good memories.
Yeah, actually, so Phil, let's talk about that, you know, very quick, you know, with the Xbox 360. What are the lessons learned from like those days with your, you know, with the current consoles now for you guys?
That's a really good question. I think I always bring it back to team. You know, make sure you've got the right team in place. That was an amazing team, a good team to be part of. And make sure the teams are enabled to do great work, I think is fundamental. I think 360, we did a nice job trying to get games from many different places, even funding games, obviously from Japan. You think about Blue Dragon, Lost Odyssey. Like I was somewhat in charge of those and getting those done. I think that was important. Being able to try new things. I mean, it's never lost on me. We did Kinect in the 360 generation. You know, not getting stuck in like how people define stuff today, but being able to take some risks and try things. Not everything will work out perfectly. But I think about it, like those were great years for me just in learning in my career. Let me quickly, because I'm just doing this real time. I've talked about this moment before, so I won't go too long. But when we were deciding how much hardware or how much RAM we were going to put in the 360, again, I've talked about this before, but we used Gears and we were looking at Gears of War and the difference in texture quality that we could get with different RAM setups in the console. And that loop of really letting content games kind of drive the definition of the platform. What are your creators seeing? What are they saying? Like, that's just fundamental for us in the platform side of making sure our creative voices are helping define where we're going.
Paris?
You may not even remember this, but the very first time we got the chance to talk to you in 2014, I said, my first thing was like, yeah, I don't like Kinect. And looking back on that in hindsight, I mean, that was probably a crazy thing to say to the CEO of Microsoft Gaming at the time. But it was the fact that you being the head of Xbox all this time is you've always listened to the community and their feedback on things. And when you've been able to pivot or have it to make a change, you're more than willing to do it. So again, we're talking about 20 years of gaming, Gamertag Radio, all of that. I mean, you, in my opinion, have probably been one of the most accessible gaming CEOs we've ever had in the history of gaming. I mean, so how important is that for you to directly, you know, engage with the community and talk to them and hear what they have to say about where they think Xbox is headed?
Yeah, I mean, it's how I learn. It's how I stay balanced. Like, I'm sitting here in my office in Redmond, Washington, and I know that not all gaming happens here. Not all gaming happens with the controller in my hands. Getting online, playing with friends, playing with people I don't know, listening to what people are interested in, and even taking the negative feedback and things that people don't like that's always a place that people will bring up. But I think it's critical. I can't always do everything people would ask. I mean, there's a reality of running the business, running the teams, but getting kind of outside of my bubble of the people I see every day, I think is critical. And that's why I love like the connections I have with you two, which we see each other on air sometimes, see each other off air a lot of times. And you guys are always very straight with me about the things that you see, what's questions are coming up in your head. And I just think it's really, really important because it's so easy to kind of get trapped in just my own lived experience, especially as someone who plays a ton. So it's critical to me in the role that I do.
Yeah, I know one of the things I loved about Xbox 360 at that time, there was a lot of I think you guys started having more relationship with Japanese studios at that time, and I'm glad to see that it's coming back. I think one of the conversations we were having, Paris, right, when we have Phil, was you know, the relationship with Japan, and are we going to get to see more content for in this generation with Xbox? And it looks like we're getting to see that more now with Square, with Sega. I'm very, very excited about Ninja Gaiden 4 coming back. I'm a huge fan of
I was just playing
Ninja
Two Black before I
Gaiden.
jumped over here. I was just over there. It's
I'm
such good
excited.
memories.
So how's that been, man? You know, since last time that we had you on the show till now, with, you know, working with more Japanese companies now.
I feel great about our relationships with the publishers in Japan specifically that you're asking about. You know, it's taken a lot of flights, a lot of FaceTime, a lot of listening, as Paris was asking about, making sure I'm hearing their feedback. But you know, I think about like Metaphor last year and our partnership on that game. It's probably my game of the year last year. The work that we've done, as you said, with Sega, with Square, being on stage with Square a couple of years ago was a ton of fun. But I mean, yesterday with Ninja and being able to the Koei Tecmo work, the Team Ninja work, having Platinum involved. I mean, a lot of teams I've known for an awful long time. That was a project that we kind of knocked on some doors and say, "Hey, wait, what if?" Like 6, 7 years ago, and just get to roll it out yesterday and see the response is fantastic. But we want global creators. I mean, gaming is a global business. It's a global art form. Different people with different perspectives telling their stories on screen, and us getting to play. Like, what could be better than that? So, it was one of the things we started early on in my career in this role, at least, of getting on planes, getting to Tokyo, getting to Osaka, getting to Kyoto, talking to creators, listening, and I love to see the progress that we've made. It's more work to do, no doubt, but I think it's what the Xbox community deserves, and I want to stay focused on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say on a quick side note, a game camp is something that Xbox has done. I actually just saw a video that came out about detailing all that Xbox Game Camp has done, and it is to exactly your point about enabling the next generation of game creators globally around the world, and it's a fantastic program that Microsoft and Xbox is doing. But I have to stick with community, and I have to stick to listening to the community, and I have to ask this because if I don't, people will kill me. So, a year ago, you and I want to talk about this is an Xbox, this new marketing thing that you have, but I want to put it in this context. So a year ago, you had a business update and you talked about the four games and putting that out there and learning from it. So obviously, you've definitely learned something because we're now seeing things like Indiana Jones going to PlayStation 5. We're seeing, you know, Doom the Dark Ages, obviously, day and date on PS5 as examples, right? But you've also talked over the past year or so about more open platforms as an example. Obviously, you know, no red lines with some of your portfolio, things like that. And I'm leading that into this is an Xbox. In your interpretation, so it's coming from your words, what does that mean now for Xbox as you head into the future?
Yeah, I want people to be able to experience the games that we build, the services that we offer on as many devices as we can. Obviously, some of the devices out there, some of the platforms are closed. They don't allow everything that we do to show up on those platforms. The thing that I've learned and continue to learn when I'm listening to creators, not only our own studios, but other, you know, other teams building games, is every creator out there wants to build a game that can find as many players as they want. And frankly, there aren't many platforms out there that try to build connections to people on so many different screens. It's almost like single platform, single device, single game. And that's kind of the history of our business. And we're really taking an approach of we want people to be able to play Xbox on many different screens. Now, not every experience will be the same. We obviously love the native experience we have on our own platform and our own hardware. And that's something that will continue for us. But like, we're not going to put walls up around where people can engage with the great games our studios are building, or where they can experience Xbox through different forms, whether it's cloud, whether it's on PC, whether it's on handheld PCs, whether it's on phones. I want everybody to be able to play on Xbox. And it does mean more of our games shipping on more platforms, not just PlayStation. We love the work that we do with Nintendo. We love what we do with Valve on Steam. And that's going to continue. We'll just continue to do more of it, because what we learn is put the games first. Make sure the games can be as great as they can. We love the experience on our own hardware, our own platform, but our games will show up in more and more places, no doubt.
If I could follow up really quick before we get to you, Danny, so along those lines, because again, one of the concerns that I hear in the community is about your own hardware and the future of that. Now, I know Sarah Bond has stated, yes, we will continue to have Xbox hardware in the future, technical leap, things like that. You've obviously talked about the handheld that is still some years away, so eventually you're going to do something like that. But there is concern in the community about, well, you're putting all these games on these other platforms. Why would I still want an Xbox? What is going to be the reason for me to want Xbox hardware when I can get that experience on another platform?
Yeah, I want people to pick hardware based on the capabilities of that hardware and how that fits into the choices they want to make about where they want to play. And we want our hardware to win based on the hardware capabilities that we have. I think the difference that we've seen in the last 20 years, and I think this is good because I come from building games, it's really game first, not platform first. Most of the games you and I will talk about run across so many different platforms. And those are the games that are having success. Those are the games that are at the top of the charts when you look at the most played, most successful games. And I want to build a platform that services those creators that are trying to meet people on every screen. But let's say, like, our own hardware, I think it's fundamental to what Xbox is. It's not lost on me. I've said over and over that box is in the name of our brand. I'll say is in the position I'm in, I look at hardware as a critical part of what we do, but not trying to gatekeep the games off of other places for the benefit of it. Let's go build innovative hardware that people want to use to play, whether that's in their hands, whether it's on their television, or even other places. And I love our hardware team and spent some time with them just this week and the roadmap that they have. And I think we're learning a lot from this, like Steam Deck and what does it mean for our games to be there? ROG Ally, what does it mean? Lenovo, like it, what does Xbox mean on those platforms? I don't think we've tuned it perfectly yet and spent a lot of time with the teams on that, but I want to make progress there. LG and the work we're doing with cloud, all of that helps us evolve our platform software. So we really embrace allowing someone to be a member of Xbox on whatever screen they want to play on.
Yeah, very quickly talking about handheld, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts. Because, you know, I know when we see each other at events, we always talk about like what games we've been playing and all that stuff. So as a gamer, what are your thoughts of the Nintendo Switch 2 that Nintendo just showed a couple of days ago, the announcement? Just one of your thoughts.
Yeah, I exchanged email with Furukawa-san, the CEO of Nintendo. I gave him a big congrats. I said my old eyes appreciate the larger screen. I know how,
yes,
how like simple that is, but dude, it's not always true that I can read all the text. But you know, Nintendo in their innovation, like what they mean in this industry, like I just always applaud the moves that they make. I think they did like a little flash video. I know we'll get more detail over time. Really looking forward to supporting them with the games that we have. And I just think they're such an important part of this industry. So yeah, I think it's hard with what's publicly out there now about the platform for everybody to get their hands around it. Who would ever bet against the success of that team? I mean, they are just masterful in what they do. Switch is a massive success. And I think Switch 2 will be as well.
No, the reason I bring that up, because it's very interesting how, you know, back then, a lot of companies were like afraid to release a handheld. And now we're getting to see more of that now, like how it's changed like the past couple.
I mean, look at it. They created a device category. Now you've got PCs going in that space. like it's become natural. Like, what does it mean to take these games that also show up on the television, but are now on smaller screens, and are they playable? And because of the amount of travel I do, I probably play on my ROG Ally as much as I play on any device. And the nice, and now I sound like an ad, but like the nice thing is when I pick up, there's my games. I mean, our Dev Direct yesterday, I was pushing the team at the beginning, let's put that all these games are play anywhere, because like more and more, that's an important thing, that my save game travels to whatever screen I want to play on. My community's always there. And I just think that should be an expectation for all of us, that the games we invest in are able to be played on any screen that we want to play them on.
And I'm so glad you said that. And, you know, I've been a huge fan of Xbox Play Anywhere over the years, because I love that flexibility of taking my progress on whatever device I'm on. And to that point, like Jason Ronald was at CES, and he was at the Lenovo event, and he briefly touched on the fact that, hey, we're working on essentially bringing that Xbox experience to Windows. And to your point about a ROG Ally, Lenovo Go, things like that, when you look in comparison to what Valve has done with SteamOS, is they've given you this simplified experience on their operating system. So it sounds like what you're telling me is that is very important to the future of Xbox, to basically replicate that for Xbox, bring that Xbox experience no matter what device that you're on.
Yeah, you know, as Windows ends up on new form factors, I do think it's important that we curate the experience.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about the Xbox platform team is they have a ton of experience of taking something that we all know, the backbone of the Xbox OS came from Windows, and to put a shell and kind of protect from some of the things that users don't really need to get to. I think SteamOS does a really nice job. And you can always window over, obviously, to full Linux if there's things that you need to go do. But it's like, that's the expertise we have inside of this company. Windows is a massive thing when you think about all the hardware they support. But the ability for us to put an experience on top of a Windows device that actually feels more custom for gamers and game creators, that's a ton of focus that Jason and Sarah and all the team are on right now, and I'm excited about progress.
Yeah, I have to say, Phil, I watched the Developers Direct yesterday. Man, that was like the video overall, the presentation was so good, man. Every single game that you guys presented, I want to play them all, especially Ninja Gaiden, of course, right? But the rest was really good. I was telling this to Paris and Ree. I was like, man, this was like an A+ presentation. Like,
thank you.
I loved the conversation with the developers, just getting to see the behind the scenes of them talking about working on all these games. And how was the experience for you guys, like choosing which game was perfect, like to have in this presentation? You know, how was it behind the scenes for you guys?
Well, first I'll just say we all got together and watched it together, even though we've probably seen it 30 times by this point in all the different iterations.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were all over in one of our kind of bigger rooms watching it together. It's like we're at some level all fans. You know, I would say that the area that's grown for us through the support for non kind of our studios, you know, teams that aren't part of us. And it's been fun to like expand this format, not only to our own teams. I love hearing from the creators, and not me, not some like talking head, but actually people that are building their game, telling their story about their game. I just think that's great. We do have to like curate the list down. So we try to take games that are shipping in the not too distant future. We want to make sure we have a story to tell, and teams have to be open to it, because obviously we're going in with camera crews and doing a bunch of slow-mo walk videos. But I think what comes out is through the mouths of creators, their vision for what they're delivering through their game, the why behind a lot of the decisions that they make. And yesterday was so fun. Like, yeah, all the teams, South of Midnight was awesome. Doom, like just one of the fundamental game for me, just and getting to close. I'll say I get emotional on it because like seeing the id at the end, the whole team there announcing their date together, like those are moments that I think we'll be looking at for years and years. And I love just seeing the team together, kind of being proud of what they're building and sharing it with the rest of the world.
Yeah,
absolutely. Excited. I will say, taking this back to when you were on XCast and we had that conversation, you said something at the time that stuck with me through all of that. You mentioned that you can see it as far as the quote unquote, the roadmap, the vision of where Xbox is headed as far as games goes, but it's up to you to actually deliver what you can see, or for lack of a better term. I kind of feel like we're getting there, where you look at the second half of what you're able to do in 2024. And obviously this presentation that you just have with the Dev Direct, we're kind of getting a peek into 2025. And then when you go back to the showcase last year, obviously you're showing even more down the road. I mean, you personally, I mean, how do you feel when you look over the next few years of Xbox as far as delivering these games, delivering these experiences? How are you feeling about that? You feeling good?
I've never been more excited about our portfolio. And I think you're, sounds like hyperbole and just kind of, but I'm being honest. And I'll go back to, people probably know I'm playing a ton of Diablo 4. So I think about Vessel of Hatred, stuff that we did. The COD release was, Black Ops 6 is so fantastic. Indiana Jones. Just incredible by Machine Games. And we didn't even have Avowed in the Dev Direct because it was so close to launching. So, but that'll be, I get a fantasy RPG from one of my favorite RPG studios ever and think about Obsidian and then that lineup. And it's, you know, the thing I probably love that you guys, it's nothing secret, don't get to see as much, is how the teams are coming together to talk about technology. Matt Booty does a great job with these offsites where it's, whether it's technical conversations, creative conversations, all of the teams learning from each other, sometimes on game things, sometimes on things like the Fallout television show and how do you think about other people doing things with your IP as a studio, but that creative community that we have. And then when we start talking about new hardware, new platforms, and getting that incredibly strong kind of technical and creative voice from our studios into our planning, and then being able to deliver the portfolio. So I get excited because of multiple things, but definitely when I look at the quality of the things that we've launched and that are ahead, it's great to be a part of. And it's been a lot of work, will continue to be a lot of work, but I feel really good.
Yeah, I know I had this conversation with Paris. I'm like, I have to ask this question to Phil. You know, I think this would be like a great way to end the podcast. So my question is to you, Phil, because, you know, you've been around the company now for a very, very long time. And here's the question I have. So what do you hope your legacy will be? And how do you want people to remember you? Because, you know, you have done a lot that I feel like impacted the industry in so many ways, you know. So we'd love to hear your answer on that.
Just being honest, I don't think that way that often. Like, so, like, when I'm done here, I just want to be done. Like, I want the teams to be at the front and the center. I don't think I'll be one of these people on stages at things and stuff. Like, my legacy, I would hope, would be the teams that are here and them feeling enabled to go do great things, and they're set up for success. Whether those are hard decisions that we have to make or innovative things that we're brave and trying. But that would be my hope, that the teams that are still part of Xbox and what we're trying to do feel like they're set up to continue to be successful. Yeah, because I think that's what our industry should strive for, right? Is people who feel safe and they can go and try new things. And we haven't been perfect in that space, but it's the thing I try to protect as much as anything. And I would hope that would continue.
Yeah. Thanks for answering that. So anything else, Paris?
Yeah. I mean, I know we still just got a couple more minutes left, so I'll ask this bonus one. So at PAX, I was at the story time, you know, thing that you were telling.
Andrea and I.
Andrea. Yeah, I love Big Red. But I really appreciate the conversation that you're having, because you're kind of going down memory lane of your history with games. And, you know, I'm of a similar vein. I remember like Robotron, all these things from the 80s that have led up to now. But my question to you is, as someone who plays games, you've been there since the beginning, and you've obviously now evolved into this role where you're making the decisions on where gaming is headed next, literally, right? Where do you see us going as far as, of course, there's all these amazing games that we have right now. We obviously know where the hardware is now, but you've already taken Xbox where you've stated that it's not just about a singular piece of hardware anymore. You want these games to be delivered on multiple platforms. Is that the future of gaming, in your opinion, that this is where we need to go? Like, in other words, what I'm trying to say is bring the games to where the people want to play them versus telling the people to come to where the games are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let me start from a different place. I'll come back to it.
Sure.
I have a fundamental belief that interactive entertainment, video games, is just a fundamentally better way to entertain people. It brings community together. It has creators of all sizes and kinds that can come in. So I just, like, I don't watch a ton of TV. I play video games. It's what I do. And I believe in the goodness that video games can offer the world. Different voices, their stories, the escapism, the community, like friends that I've built playing online who I never have met in the real world, just in the circles I'm in and they're in. So I start from just a fundamental belief that video games are a good thing for this planet. And the more that people play and experience what video games are, it's just, it's all up a good thing for the world around us. Not everybody's going to agree with that. That's kind of my point of view. With that comes responsibility on our side as an industry for the industry that we have and the community and how we protect it and how we grow it. But then if you pivot to your question of, well, if I believe that, if that's the kind of a point of view, then I would never want to keep games from someone. I think everybody benefits from playing the great stories that are out there, experiencing the world that I think some of the world's best creators have built in video games. Because I just have a fundamental belief that gaming is a power for good. And it's a journey. Like, there's always stuff that we got to watch and protect. And that's my own experience from such a young kid starting to play on my Pong, my 2600, and then rolling on.
Yeah.
But I just see it. And I see that it engages lean forward activity. It's cause and effect. It's the life lessons learned through video games. And I want more and more people to experience that. And I want Xbox to be at the forefront of making that possible. And it sometimes means breaking some of the tropes of the past, but I believe in that future. And that's what I want us to be about.
No, I just want to say, Phil, man, thank you and the team for always giving us the opportunity to have you on the show and for us to have conversations. And thank you for, you know, so being open with us, man. You know, always.
Always. And again, congrats on 20 years. Like, it really matters that we've got voices that have seen a few county fairs, don't overreact or underreact to things. You've got a perspective that I think is very grounded, and the industry is a better place for both of you. So thanks for that.
No problem.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you. Let me stop the recording.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.